My name is Robert Neville. I'm a survivor living in New York City. I am broadcasting on all AM frequencies. If you are out there, if anyone is out there, I can provide food, I can provide shelter, I can provide security. If there's anybody out there, anybody, please, you are not alone.
Hello, how are you doing? This is Arnie, co-host of Now Playing. I don't know what it's like where you live, and I'm specifically talking to you, not all our other listeners. But here in the Midwest, school's back in session, that means driving 20 miles an hour through most of the city around schools, leaves are falling off the trees at an alarming rate, I'm seeing pumpkins on some porches in the neighborhoods, and I went to a Walgreens and they actually had a singing Santa Claus and Christmas tree out on the shelf. What does all that sum up to? Summer and spring are clearly behind us, and with the new season brings a new Now Playing donation drive. And as we approach October, the month of Halloween, we always like to go back and look at some horror films we haven't done. And this year, it looks like one of the biggest is going to be Zombieland Double Tap. So our silver level donation drive is all about Zombieland. I mean, Zombieland, at the time, was the biggest zombie movie of all time. Only World War Z has grossed more money zombie-wise. We missed the opportunity to review Zombieland. It was part of a listener poll way back in 2011. The options were Green Lantern, Super 8, or Zombieland. And we said that whichever one didn't win, we would never do. But that was 8 years ago. We had no idea at that time our listeners would be so supportive and donate and pledge to the show to keep us going 8 years later. It's astronomical that we are approaching our 1,000th episode, and it's all because of patrons and donors like you. But you may be saying, Silver Level is usually five shows. There's only two Zombielands. So what's going on? Well, we had a lot of conversations about that internally, and Stuart came up with the idea of doing I Am Legend. And again, you're probably like, well, okay, that's one extra movie. Except I Am Legend, before it was a Will Smith hit in Christmas of 2007, was a novel by Richard Matheson that came out in the 50s. And yeah, the Will Smith I Am Legend version is probably the most well-known film version, but it has been adapted to screen three times. In the 70s, it was The Omega Man, starring Charlton Heston. And even before that, in the 60s, it was adapted to a movie called The Last Man on Earth, starring Vincent Price. So how does I Am Legend, the novel, and all of these film adaptations tie into Zombieland? What's the connection there? Here's a clip from the review that came out today of The Last Man on Earth, where Stuart talks about that and describes exactly how all these films tie together for our Silver Level series. And then I'll be back on the other side of this clip to talk to you about how you can hear all of our donation shows.
We're the grateful podcasters because we have awesome people like you who have donated to hear our Silver Level Fall 2019 series leading up to Zombieland and Zombieland 2.
We were looking at a lot of different options. What can we pair with it? And Stuart, you put forth The Last Man on Earth. Vampire movies?
I Am Legend is what I put forth, yes. If we are ending with what could presumably be one of the biggest zombie apocalypse movies of all time, keep in mind that first Zombieland is second only to World War Z in box office, then why don't we start at the beginning? What we are here to talk about today is the first novel to ever conceive of zombie apocalypse and the first movie to ever show it. 4 years before George Romero, we have Last Man on Earth.
I'm confused. You keep saying zombies. Are they zombies in the book?
No, let's talk about the book. Yes, I know all three of these movies. I had never read the novel by Richard Matheson. I went back to find out what was in this 1954 book, which, yes, in the earliest versions, it's definitely vampires. And on the page, we're here to talk about vampires. But vampires are kind of undead. So part of what's so progressive about the novel is that it reconceives the Bram Stoker sexy swinger deviant into something much more akin to the Living Dead.
I did know when I Am Legend came out, I read the articles about it, knew it was based on the book, knew that the Omega Man was also based on the same book. I can't recall if any article I read brought up this Vincent Price film. I imagine they would have.
No, I don't think they did, because I'm in the same boat as you, Arnie. The only one I've seen before this retrospective was I Am Legend, and that's how I learned about Omega Man. I haven't watched it. I'll watch it for next week's review, but no one ever mentioned this Vincent Price film.
Yeah, I don't think it is well known. It certainly wasn't a box office hit in its day, and Richard Matheson himself has disowned it. I take it you guys do not know the source material?
No.
Never read it, but I saw the movie.
Yeah, well, you know Matheson. We've covered it. This is the third podcast we've covered him in. He, of course, wrote the short story that became Duel, Steven Spielberg's big breakout feature. Legend of Hell House, Arnie, was a patron pick last year that was based on his Hell House novel. And unfortunately, Matheson has to own up to the fact that he wrote the script for Jaws 3D.
Ooh.
But of course, we've already mentioned, every time we bring up his name, he's most widely known for Twilight Zone. You know, twist endings are a big part, I think, of his writing. And that's definitely a part of I Am Legend. But, you know, he helped craft some of the most famous Twilight Zone episodes, including that one with the gremlin on the wing of the plane of William Shatner. And Outer Limits, Incredible Shrinking Man was an early one. If you remember, the tiki fetish doll that chased Karen Black around in Trilogy of Terror. Christopher Reeve found Jane Seymour somewhere in time on Mackinac Island. That was him showing a romantic side. And then Robin Williams went to hell to rescue the wife that committed suicide in Where Dreams May Come. Kevin Bacon saw Ghost in Stir of Echoes. It kind of got quashed because it came out like a month after Sixth Sense, but some people like it. Hugh Jackman boxed robots, Real Steel. I never saw that one. Cameron Diaz and James Marsden opened the box and found a magic button that can kill people.
Oh my God, that's so awful. The guy who made Donnie Darko just needed to stop after one.
I think he did stop after. I think that button did stop his career. But it didn't stop Matheson. Again, he's always adapted. He's always well-respected. Part of the reason is that his writings just have that ironic twist ending that so many people love to see. And I also think another theme that I'm finding is that he takes a scientific approach to the supernatural. Arnie, if you remember with Hell House, what was unique about that was those paranormal investigators brought machines, equipment, to measure all the ghost activity going on in that house. And here on the page, I Am Legend, it really does offer a scientific breakdown about what a vampire is, that it actually turns it into a microbial level problem. Bacteria will make you want to drink blood, will turn you pale, will make you nocturnal. And scientific reasons are given for all of the vampire tropes, you know, why stakes kill you, why you're afraid of crosses, all of that stuff in I Am Legend is found to have scientific basis.
So he was the Michael Crichton of his day.
That's something that I'm seeing anyway. Crichton is very much an egghead scientist, but yeah, I guess you could say that, maybe. And the other thing I think is, you know, you've brought it up already. Zombies or vampires, well, he kind of blended them. Up to this point, if you saw a zombie movie or a zombie book, you were probably thinking, we're in Haiti, a witch doctor is going to cast a spell, and suddenly a corpse wakes up and does his bidding. And the variation on that in 50s movies was aliens come down and make corpses come alive and do their bidding. I mean, yes, in both cases, zombies take over the world, but there's a puppet master. What Matheson creates here is the first idea of no puppet master, that in fact, these quote-unquote undead vampires really are mindless, that they have no agenda other than to just consume all of humanity, and it is almost wiped out. And of course, if it's about vampires, Hammer Studios wants to make it. This novel was well received in 1954 within the circles of sci-fi. What better than Hammer Studios, the people that made Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing, Fang movies? They wanted to do this, and they bought the rights to this. They invited Matheson to come to London to write the script in 1958. He happily did so, and the only thing they asked was change the title. We don't like the title, we don't like the end, and so they agreed it was going to be called Night Creatures, directed by Val Guest, who had done a bunch of Quatermass movies. If you know what that is, it's a cool British horror thing, kind of like a Sherlock Holmes in the supernatural realm. What happened, though, when he turned in that script was the censors said, no way. And here's what they said. Quote, brutality, profanity, I don't remember that one, bad language, immorality, and an overall emphasis of gruesomeness means this movie is not releasable in 1958. You cannot make this movie.
So that means they totally redid the script, right? Because I don't remember any of that in this one.
Yes, well, they did. That is actually what happened, that the UK Hammer just said, we can't do it. The US censors were no more kind. And so Hammer kept the title Night Creatures. They released it as a costume drama starring Peter Cushing and Swamp Phantoms, and they sold that Matheson script to an American producer that we've covered before. Robert Lippert made Curse of the Fly. If you remember the third film in that franchise, he was part of Associate Producers International.
Curse of the Fly is immortalized in our book.
It was not one of our favorites, but Arnie, you have a soft spot for it. And so Lippert didn't meet an idea he couldn't produce on the cheap in Europe. And so he went to Rome, hired a writer from Bonanza, and just threw out basically Matheson's version. And Matheson gave himself a pseudonym so he could still collect royalty checks. If you'll notice, this script is credited to two people, and one of them is Logan Swanson. That's really Richard Matheson. But Matheson says, it's in some ways still has the structure of my novel, but it really is not my novel, in large part because Lippert wants to go with the horror star of the era, Vincent Price. And Vincent Price is definitely not the character you're going to read when you read I Am Legend.
Oh, yeah, look, I love me some Vincent Price. I love just listening to him talk. But you're telling me this is the guy that's like so good at survival techniques, he's the last man on Earth? Not going to buy that.
Yeah, when I think of Vincent Price, the brand that he became was this faux European. I don't know what that accent is. I know he's from Missouri.
Yeah, he's from St. Louis. That's what I love, is he created all of this. His whole affect is just something that he invented. You know, he was an actor in London, so I think he just kind of picked up some kind of accent that's Euro trash. We'll just call it Euro trash.
But I always picture him wearing a suit and being almost like the crypt keeper. He's not going to get his hands dirty. He's going to be the one whose brain creates the problem. So seeing him in survivalist mode, to me, that's casting against type. Now, I've not seen his whole filmography. There's a lot of films in there. But the films I've seen, especially looking at what we've reviewed before here, The Fly came before this, and he was very much the man in the suit in that one.
Not the fly suit,
but the man in the button-up.
The smoking jacket, yes. Very refined gentleman.
So seeing him as the survivalist foraging through garlic was ironic.
Yeah, let's be clear. In the novel, when you read it, the main character is called Neville, and he is mid-30s, blonde hair, blue-eyed, blue-collar. Is not a scientist, has to learn science when the plague hits, picks it all up from microbiology books that he finds in libraries after everyone else is dead, and he's straight. He's very lustful. Like, when he sees some of these vampiruses, his urges overtake him, and he almost wants to step outside because he's so horny.
I can see why we'll get Charlton Heston next week. He was like that with apes. I could see him doing that with zombies.
You got it. Yeah, Heston is much more in line with although older than the character in the book. Again, not 30s when he makes Omega Man. All of the information is basically going to be communicated through Vincent Price. No, they just wanted to make it easy to sell this movie. It didn't work. When this thing came out, it made not a blip. Nobody cared. It came out in 64 in America, 66 in the UK, and nobody really would care until 1968, when George Romero really does big business at the drive-ins with Night of the Living Dead. You know how Hollywood works. Once success comes, everyone is like, oh, like zombies. What is this all about? And this film would eventually be rediscovered and kind of gets a lot of credit as some kind of small horror classic for paving the way for Romero's work. And Romero has said he definitely read Matheson's book. He did not say that he saw Last Man on Earth.
So if you'd like to hear our reviews of The Last Man on Earth, I Am Legend, The Omega Man, plus both Zombieland films, our donation drive is open now. The first of the silver level shows is already out. You can go to nowplayingpodcast.com/donate. A pledge of $10 or more, $2 a show, means you're going to hear all these silver episodes. Also, if you're a patron at nowplayingpatron.com of $10 or more, in addition to over 30 exclusive bonus shows, you're going to get these five silver level shows for the duration of the donation drive. Now, at nowplayingpodcast.com/donate, you also can see information about our gold level and platinum level drives. And again, with October, We Like Horror, at gold level, we're going to be doing the Grudge movies. Now, again, you might be saying, but there's three of them. Well, there's a fourth coming out this January, produced by Sam Raimi. But even more than that, there's all the Japanese Yuan films, the original version of The Grudge. So for gold level, we're going to be actually putting out two shows a week to review 12 Grudge films. You can see the full schedule of which weeks have two bonus shows and which weeks have one on our website. But we're going to be talking much more about The Grudge in the coming months. And then at platinum level, you know, The Grudge, we have Japanese movies and American movies, kind of an East meets West thing. And our platinum level starts the same week as Bad Boys for Life hits theaters. So East meets West, buddy cop movie, we're doing the Rush Hour trilogy. That's for donors who really want to support the show, go above and beyond, and donate $35 or more. All the details are at nowplayingpodcast.com/donate. And it truly is because of listeners and donors like you that has kept our show able to go on for as long as it has, and we have no intent of slowing down. We are still having as much fun reviewing movies for you and talking with you guys online as we did when we started back in 2007 or started our retrospective series back in 2009. We plan on hitting that 1,000th episode and blowing on past that number and continuing on, and it's because of donors and patrons that we can. So thank you for your support. We'll be back on Tuesday, where Jacob, Brock, and I are going to discuss Rambo: Last Blood. And we'll talk to you then.
We waited for you, Neville, so you could see this.
The end. The end of all you've done. You see, none of it was real. It was illusion. Your art, your science, it was all a nightmare. And now it's done. Finished.
My brethren, our task is nearly complete. He was the last of those who brought the punishment to us. We have cleansed and purged his world. Now we must build.
Your support helps keep Now Playing on the air.
Great show, held over for a third straight year.
The opinions expressed on Now Playing are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the opinion of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Nothing happened the way it was supposed to happen. Nothing worked the way that it was supposed to work.
Venganza Media Incorporated is not affiliated with, and this podcast has not been prepared, approved, or licensed by any entity that created the film analyzed herein.
And how many more of these will I have to make before they're all destroyed?
All movie clips and music included in this podcast are the intellectual property of their respective copyright holders. They are included here for the purpose of review, and no infringement is intended.
Social de-evolution appears complete. Typical human behavior is now entirely absent.
Now Playing Podcast is an exclusive trademark of and may not be used without the expressed written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
There's never a cop around when you need one.
Now Playing is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2019, all rights reserved. And no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
The bad dream is over, friend Neville. Now we can sleep in peace.